Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. Lord, I come to your awesome presence, from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness, ever changing from glory to glory. Mirrored here, may our lives tell your story. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light.
Amen. Good morning. Now I tell you, if you didn't just see an example of what Jesus talked about with childlike faith right there, that says it. How old is Marie? Are you two or three?
Three.
And her excitement to just run in here and run down to that second row? That's pretty good, Marie. That's what Jesus is talking about right there. Somehow when we grow older, it's like, too cold, whatever. So thank you for coming and being here. And praise the Lord, whatever years ago it was, you lose track of time, 5, 6, I don't know, when we put the steel shingles on, and before that, the insulation, 3 inches on this roof. I'm telling you, it would not, you all know, be this cozy in here today. I bet we'd be pushing to get it to 60 degrees prior to that insulation. So what a wonderful blessing. It's just warm and cozy in here. And God is with us. And welcome to all of you that came out. We are going to have a beautiful service together today. Couple announcements. So this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday that starts our Lenten season. We use this time to focus on Jesus. We always focus on Jesus, but all the more with some of these extra services. So we have the high schoolers will be helping with the service on Wednesday night. Hopefully all of you and a whole bunch more will be here. They're going to sing special, and as you know, most of you, they will have different parts in the service. So that starts at 7 o'clock this Wednesday night. It should be warmer by then. Just two other things, really, regarding the Moore Committee. On the insert, there's a thank you from them. And they also have some boxes of candies to hand out to our 80 and older ones that are here today, which are not too many, I don't think. But I'm not sure if Greg's taken Melanie's place on that. Did she give you any instructions?
She did not.
She did not. Okay, she's not here either, but we'll cover it. Jennifer Herbolt will try and cover it. Okay, thank you. And second thing, the marriage seminar, which is a week from today, next Sunday, will be from approximately 4:30 to 8:30. As you see, we have a catered supper from Roosters, roasted pork chop, and cheesy potatoes, and some salads and dessert. And we just have a great time. So on that, if you want to come, I really need you to sign up. I know we're slim today, so we might have to make some phone calls. But we have to let Roosters know pretty soon. If you want two pork chops, then it's $3 more. Yeah, instead of $12, it's $15. So you could mark that if you're wanting two pork chops. They are delicious. Okay, lots of other announcements there for you to read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Lord God Almighty, we do love you and praise you. And we are excited to be here, just as this little three-year-old ran down the aisle with the biggest smile on her face to the second row. Lord, let our hearts be exactly as that. Every time we gather in this sanctuary for worship, every time we look into your word, whether it's at home or in Bible study or Sunday school or worship service, that we would have that joy and that excitement within our hearts and our lives, because you are the creator of the universe. You are our Father. You, Lord God, are the Ancient of Days. And Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and so much more. And we are here to worship you, the King. And we ask you to bless this service. We thank you for your presence here in our midst. And that as we go, that you take everyone safely home from Tripp and Scotland and Leicesterville and in the country and right here in town. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 104 will be our opening hymn. 104, O Worship the King. Let's stand together as we sing this, please. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His power and His love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, oh, sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care Sorry, somehow we didn't have that fifth verse in there. But praise the Lord, we worship our King. Well, greet those around you however you want before you are seated. Okay. Well, here we are on a beautiful morning, a little brisk, but praise the Lord. Some announcements, some joys and concerns, I'll say it that way, that I have. Update on Shirley. There you are. She's here. Praise the Lord. So Shirley had a bout with a kidney stone over the last week, and they got it taken care of, and she's feeling much better. So amen. She says thanks for all the prayers. Update on Milo Hauk. Milo has had a difficult week. Started out last Sunday morning to Freeman Hospital and was there through Wednesday noon. Influenza B and some other stuff. And then they sent him home. And then later that afternoon, they were on their way to the emergency room at the Heart Hospital. So I won't go into all the details. What they did find was a main artery that had a stent in it, put in years ago, was 90% blocked. And so he was basically on the verge of a pretty big heart attack. They were able to go in and get that taken care of. Not sure when he'll come home today, tomorrow. We'll just have to see. But continued prayers for Milo and Mary Lee. The one-act play at Menno, they got a superior at State, so top rating. Not sure if we have any here today. Morgan, were you in that? No? Any of our high schoolers here? But so congratulations to them. We do have several in the... Oh, Bridget Faith, yes, thank you. All right. Thanks, Jennifer. I would have felt bad. Yes, congratulations to them. Also, Kristen Heckenleibel had a little baby girl this last week, Thursday. Her name is Bria Kathleen, 7 pounds, 5 ounces. So they, not sure if, well, they might come home today or tomorrow. I'll just say it that way, I guess. Probably more like tomorrow, the way it sounds. But the baby is doing good, and Kristen is also. So keep them in your prayers. And let's see, Leland Wiedmeyer, I talked to him yesterday. His 86th birthday is tomorrow. So if you think about it, you know him, give him a call or something. They haven't been able to be with us yet since COVID and everything, but they listen every week to the services. So, okay, anything else? Oh, Lori first, I guess. Oh my, okay. Prayers for Randy Whale's wife, Phyllis. They took her to Scotland this morning with some symptoms and found out her hemoglobin is at a 4. Normal is 12. Yeah, that's. So they're taking her by ambulance down to Yankton, correct? Okay. Prayers for them. David, did you? That would be good. Yes, I think we should do that. For Leland. So we're going to sing happy birthday to Leland, okay? Y'all join. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Leland. Happy birthday to you. Amen. We miss you both. We do miss you, Leland and Clara May.
How old are you?
86. Anybody else over here? Okay, this side here. Oh, Fred. Oh, Cindy. Okay.
Tyler got hurt at work. Mm. Got something landed on one of his feet. And with the tendons and all, I have to be off of work for 3 weeks. And I have to be in a boot.
Oh, okay. Did you say it? Tore a tendon or damaged a tendon. Okay, sorry to hear that. Tyler Ulmer, Cindy's son, was hurt this last week at work. Something heavy fell on his foot, damaged a tendon, so he has to be off work for 3 weeks. He's in a boot. Okay, we'll pray for him too. All right, Greg. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, that's right. Greg has a concern when we take the confirmation kids tubing in 2 weeks if I'm signing the waiver to allow my wife to do that or not. Okay. We are praying on that one. Yes. Okay. No, but I talked about that already. But, okay. Yeah. What? Okay. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we love you and just rejoice in you and in your goodness. And again, in the warmth of this sanctuary, we're so thankful for that. Father, we want to lift up Randy and Phyllis Whale here, especially Phyllis, as she's probably en route right now by ambulance down there to Yankton. We pray, first of all, Jesus, for your healing touch to her body, her system. Lord, what throughout her being, whatever's going on here, you know exactly. And we pray also for wisdom then to those in the ambulance working with her, to those at Yankton when she gets there, to see what should be done and what is causing this. We thank you, Father, for being our great physician and working mightily in this situation. Lord, for Tyler Ulmer, we also want to pray as he was injured at work, and we just pray for healing to that tendon and through his foot where that heavy piece dropped there and caused this damage. Thank you for watching over him and Heidi and the boys during this time and always. Lord, for Leland Wiedmeyer on his 86th birthday tomorrow, we miss him and Clara May very much. And Lord, we know that when the time is right, they'll be able to be back with us. For Milo and Marilee Houck as well, we lift up them as they've been through a very difficult week, exhausting in many ways, but we trust that what they found there with putting the stent in and other things, that he's improving each day, and we ask for you to continue to renew his strength and watch over them both, keep them safe during this time. Lord, for Shirley, thank you so much for healing through her body. We continue to pray for others, Jimmy Whale and Terry Seiler, Logan Clout, Lord, as these heal up from various situations, and all that are listed in our bulletin. Thank you for watching over them. For Lord Robert and Kristen Heckenleibel, we just rejoice with Kristen giving birth to a little girl on Thursday, Bria, and thank you that that went well after what's certainly been a challenging pregnancy, but here she is, and we will be excited to meet her. So thank you for watching over them with that new little one. And for the one-act play here at Menno High School, the kids involved with it who work so hard, and we thank you for the award that they were given at the state competition. Lord, there's so much to pray for. I pray for Micah Gehring. I didn't mention as he had surgery on his finger this last week, Friday. Thank you for healing there. I pray, Lord, for the farmers, especially those with livestock who some have already started calving, maybe lambing, and these brutal cold conditions. It's got to be very difficult. I know several are dealing with situations right now this morning. Watch over them, Lord. Help them to catch those little ones being born before it's too late. Just guide them. Keep them safe. We pray for our highway workers who have to be out in tough conditions, the truckers, all who have to travel. And we thank you, Lord, for lifting this, it sounds like in a day or two, this brutal cold, and for watching over us. Lord, will you continue to pray for our nation asking you as we sing for your blessing upon our nation, asking you for the outpouring of your Spirit upon this nation, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the events of this week, of yesterday even, there for the acquittal, and we pray that Congress can get to the business they're supposed to be doing, Lord, for this nation. We ask for healing throughout this country, Lord God, for our troops. Thank you for every one of them serving abroad, whether full-time, part-time in the Guards, however it works. Watch over them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. This was God's promise after the flood of Noah. He said, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, they will never cease. And we know that, and we enjoy the seasons of the year that we get to have here in South Dakota. Let's stand. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer, please. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and the power and the praise, the honor for who you are. Faithful. Lord, every time we see the rainbow in the sky, our minds go back to Noah and the flood of the earth and your faithfulness to those who were in that ark. That's a type of you, Jesus, of the how we shelter in you no matter what we face. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for this opportunity to give to you again today. Lord, you are our source and our sustenance, our provider. And we bring the first fruits of that to you in worship and praise in Jesus' name. Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And the children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today?
Hi.
What is today?
Valentine's Day.
What do we do on Valentine's Day?
Cancel it.
She did say that. She's going to cancel Valentine's Day. No. Did you have a Valentine's party on Friday?
Yeah.
Thursday. Yeah. So what do you do at your Valentine's party?
Have fun.
Get candy. Do you give out Valentines to each other?
Yeah.
Oh, I got some too. They must have fallen out of there. Let's see here. Here's my Valentine's. These are some funny ones. Life's more fun with you. And it has a picture of s'mores. Here's one. Ice cream, you're so cool. And here we go. We have a waffle lot of fun. An awful lot of fun, right? Here's one more. I like you more than pizza. Wow, did anybody say that to anybody? Did you like anybody more than pizza? Yeah, somebody did, right? It's just a fun time to show you care about each other and love each other. And this is my favorite that I got from my husband. It says, my wife, my Valentine's. And they're so fun to read them all and to hear what we're telling each other and to have all that fun. But you know what happened to me this week when I opened my Bible? Oh. Things fell out of my Bible. Let me see what fell out of my Bible. Oh, these are things that God has told us in the Bible. These are Valentines like from God. It says, we love him because he first loved us. That's in 1 John 4:19. Isn't that neat? That's how we can love him, because he loved us. This one says, John 3:16. You all know that one. Yeah, you want to say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that awesome? God so loved the world. That means he loved you, and all of us, right? He loved us. He still loves us. Here's one. And then God also tells us how we're supposed to love others, okay, in this word, this Valentine here. Matthew 22:38. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Say heart. With all your soul. And with all your... And what is the second greatest commandment? That's the first greatest commandment. We're to love God. What's the second? Love your... neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Your friends. Your friends? Yeah, okay. Do you show them kindness? Yeah, that's really neat. That's great to do this. And then it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:4, I'm just going to read part of it. This tells us what love is. Because you might be saying, well, how do I love my neighbor? I don't kind of get that. How do I love my friends? Love is patient. Say patient. I can wait my turn. Love is kind. Say kind.
Kind.
I can be kind to others. Love does not boast. Say does not boast.
Does not boast.
That means going and telling everybody that you're the best all the time and you win all the time. Love doesn't do that. Love is not proud. Say love is not proud. It's not rude. That's right. You know, this tells us don't have attitudes and be rude to people and be rude to our parents or our teachers. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And love, get this, keeps no record of wrongs. So that means we can't say, hey, 2 years ago, you did this to me, all right? We forgive, we can't. Or last week, I'm not playing with you because you did this, right? We forgive each other. So these are all things, and there's many, many more that are in the Bible. And to me, that's the best Valentine that we can ever have, because this won't get thrown away. Those I might lose, like I almost lost them, we're going to throw them away one day, right? Did you get candy for Valentine's?
Yeah.
Did you eat it all yet?
No.
Not yet, but you will soon, right? And that'll be gone, but this word is always here. God loves us, okay? Let's pray. Ready? Close your eyes. Father, we thank you so much that you love us so much. There's no love as best as yours. You are the best Valentine for us, and we thank you. We thank you for loving us and loving the boys and girls and helping us. We ask you to help us to love others. The second greatest commandment, to love others. I ask you to bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week, to show your love to them, to those that come in contact with these boys and girls. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Now, hold on. Before you get your thing, I do have something that... This is from Pastor Mike and I to show you that we love you too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Ann. Oh, God, I realized I didn't have my sermon notes up here. Since we didn't have Sunday school, I'm out of my routine or something, but we got it. We're going to sing number 36, He is Exalted. We'll sing that through twice. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Yes, let's bow in prayer once more, please. Father, you are exalted on high as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you are seated at the right hand, Jesus, of God the Father Almighty. You are seated there, Lord Jesus. And we know your word says that at your name every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you, Jesus, are Lord of all. And we confess that freely now, and we bow our knees freely before you. For you are truth, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Your word is truth, and forever your truth shall reign. So thank you. For another day, we get to look into your word as we gather together in this sanctuary. We thank you for encouraging us, challenging us, strengthening us, correcting us, rebuking us, whatever the leading of your Spirit is. And I ask, Father, that you would speak through me by your Spirit as we gather in this place. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we are in Acts chapter 17. We've been in the book of Acts for the last three Sundays or four probably here. I want to look once more today again on this theme, we preach Jesus. So we're in Acts chapter 17. This is when Paul and Silas, and they pick up Timothy at some point. They're on their what we call the second missionary journey. So they're coming to the city of Thessalonica. Acts 17, verse 1. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Amen. We preach Jesus. We've been seeing this. And this is what we have to do still today. I have on there the first missionary journey in your insert where that's found in the book of Acts. There's a little break, and then they go on this second missionary journey, which, as I said, that's where we're at here in this 17th chapter. But verse 1, it says, "When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue." Now, just a little bit, the history right here of what's happening. So they had been in Philippi, if we would look in chapter 16, that's the time where there really wasn't a synagogue. So they went by the riverside, they found this group in prayer and got acquainted, and then they're preaching Jesus in that city, and they come across this slave girl who is possessed with a spirit of divination, fortune-telling, in other words. And they, in the name of Jesus, they cast that evil spirit out of her, which is a good thing. But her owners get very upset. And if you remember, they caused a great commotion there. Paul and Silas get whipped, beaten, thrown in jail. And so that's where they're leaving from. And they're going from Philippi. So I have a little deal again in your insert. From Philippi to that next city, Amphipolis, was 30 miles, okay? Then Amphipolis to Apollonia was another 25 miles. They're going west. From Apollonia to Thessalonica is another 40 miles west. So you got a 95-mile journey, all right? So a few days to get there, to where they come, where we're picking up today. Now, one other thing, to me it's interesting, some of this. There was this highway that Rome had made along here called the Via Ignatia. Ignatia, because the guy ruling, Ignatius was his name. But that, listen, they started making this highway. It, by the way, it's almost 700 miles long, it was then, 20 feet wide. They hauled those stone slabs in, think of that, 700 miles by hand with horses on carts, leveling this out. The Via Ignatia, 700 miles. The Roman Empire did this. They started it, did I say that, in 145 BC. So by the time Christ was born, this thing was laid out. For them in that day, 2,000 years ago, that would have been like our interstates. I mean, still very rough, but wow. And it's amazing how God uses governments, empires to do things to accomplish his will. That highway and many others that Rome built allowed for the gospel to be spread much easier. It allowed in various ways when the Caesar Augustus made the decree before Christ was born that for a census to be taken, made it somewhat easier to travel, made it now when we're in Acts 17 easier for these guys to go take the message of the gospel to the known world at that time. And so they're doing it. So just real quick, that road, it starts in Rome, and it went to Constantinople, which today would be modern-day Istanbul, Turkey. We hear of that city a lot, right? That's how where this road went, from Rome to what we would say modern-day Istanbul, Turkey. Think of that. So there they go. There was a Jewish synagogue in Thessalonica. I want to talk about verse 6 of this 17th chapter first a little bit, and then we'll go back through verse 2 and on. In the New King James Version, I love how it says verse 6, where NIV, I read, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here." New King James says, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." I like that saying. So let's talk about that. See, from man's perspective, these guys, Paul, Silas, Timothy, preaching Jesus, the ungodly, unsaved men are saying they have turned the world upside down. You know what it is from God's perspective? They are turning the world right side up, is what they're doing. From God's perspective, when did the world get flipped upside down? I think we probably all know. The fall of man, right? The fall of man is when it got flipped, so to speak, figuratively speaking, upside down. Because what happened? What happened at the fall of man? The first thing we know, Adam and Eve sinned. We know that very well, right? God told them, "Here's the garden. I'm putting you in it. You tend it. You work it. You keep it. Anything in there is yours to partake of, except do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you eat of it, you will surely die." And we know the story. They ate of it, right? They died that moment spiritually. They died, which eventually led to their physical death. So that's the one thing. The other thing that maybe we don't talk about so much, but that happened, is the earth itself. When they sinned, the earth itself fell under a curse. It did. Look in the where's my bulletin? Meditation part of the bulletin from Genesis 3. This, I put this in there because this is after the fall, and God's first speaking to the woman, and then he speaks to the man, and he says this about in the middle of that meditation, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce those wonderful thorns and thistles for you." That you that farm fight against so hard, don't you? To try and get rid of him. "And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you'll eat the food." And so on it goes. The earth, there were no thorns and thistles prior to that time. There were not weeds that caused trouble prior to the fall of man in that garden. Even so, Romans 8, verse 20, jump into the New Testament, listen to this a little bit. It says, "For the creation," that's talking about this earth, "was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay." This earth is subject to decay, right? We see it all around us, all the time. Our bodies, unfortunately, are subject to decay. Now, you younger ones, you might think, "Ugh." But when you get up 50 and over, you'll be like, "Ugh." Like, "Ooh, ah." Right? Things decay because that's how that earth fell under the curse. So when is the earth going to be liberated from the bondage? Not until after the second coming of Christ and we come to the new heaven and the new earth. And that's even a ways after the second coming of Christ. Our bodies, when will our bodies be redeemed and set free? When we receive the resurrected bodies, the rapture of the church, which is the next event we are waiting to happen. Next event we're waiting for, okay? So, yes, are we redeemed from the curse of the law spiritually? Absolutely we are because of Christ. We are redeemed from it. But the physical bodies, subject to decay. This earth, subject to decay. Unsaved man, so I got a point where I'm going with this. Listen. Consequently, unsaved man is very comfortable in living in a cursed earth. Okay? Now, before you might be thinking, oh, Pastor Mike, there's so many beautiful things on this earth. Absolutely, there is. We get to enjoy God's creation all around us and the beauties of it. We see, I mean, we could look, the Rocky Mountains and the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls and on and on we could go. And right here in our beautiful state of South Dakota, right? We do. But it is subject to decay. So unsaved man, that's why these people, that's why that saying in verse 6, those that have turned the world upside down have come here also. Because they're disrupting the system when they're preaching Jesus, aren't they? This is a quote I found from John MacArthur. He said it so well. When you put a cursed or fallen man in a cursed system, he or she is going to get along with this system pretty well. True. It's true. But the deal is, when we, whoever, as believers, start applying righteousness and truth to this system, guess what? We start making waves. And a lot of people don't like those waves when they get going. John 3:19, what did Jesus say? This is the verdict right here. Listen, light has come into the world. That's Jesus. But men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. In other words, again, they love their system, the fallen world in which we live, and they get along well with it. So Thessalonica, these people, they had their system. You say, well, those Jews, these were religious Jewish people in the synagogues. Right. They were very religious. Just being religious does not save a person by any means. They were very religiously wrong. They could not see, nor would they even be willing to accept or listen to the fact, most of them, that Jesus was their Messiah. Couldn't see it. So Paul, everywhere he's going, you read through both of those missionary journeys, everywhere he goes, he's preaching Jesus. He's the Christ. Remember last week, he's the chief cornerstone. You guys rejected him. He's it. The week before that, this Jesus that you crucified, he is both Lord, that means God, and he is Christ. He is the Messiah. And you crucified him. Oh, they did not like that, did they? He was making waves. They chased him out each place along the way. When we try, as believers, we try our best to stand on God's word, we are not perfect. When we want to stand for life, the life of the unborn, which should be so simple, shouldn't it? People don't like that. I had a thing, I have had this, I saw it here after the first of the year, and I never did read it, but I had it in here. This is statistics according to WHO, WHO, you know, the wonderful World Health whatever organization. They said, in the first 10 days of 2021, think about this, there were already more than 1.2 million abortions performed. Worldwide, I'm talking. And that just seems to be all okay, doesn't it? Who, the World Health Organization, says there are 40 to 50 million abortions performed worldwide every year. That makes 125,000 a day. Very sad. It is the leading cause of death in the world. Black children are aborted 3 times as many as white, according to the CDC. And yet we hear nothing about it at all. See, and we are preaching Jesus. And that makes waves. We're preaching Jesus when we say, you know what, we stand on God's design for marriage, a man and a woman. That's his word. And on I could go. So back to this. Were Paul and Silas causing trouble? No. Turning the world upside down according to man's perspective? Yeah. According to God's perspective? No. According to God's, they were turning it upside right, if you'd say it that way. Not upside down, but upside right. Or as we would say, right side up, right? Okay, if you wondered where we are ever at in our outline, we're just getting the Roman numeral number 1. All right, that was a long intro. The rest shouldn't be quite as long. So what, when we look at Paul and Silas and these men preaching Jesus, what are some of the qualities we've been looking at these last weeks? Today, we see in them courage. Courage. And we saw that last week too, with Peter, with Paul and Barnabas. When they saw the courage of these men, they knew they had been with Jesus, right? So verse 2, chapter 17, verse 2, their courage. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue, and on 3 Sabbath days, so for them that would have been Saturday, 3 weeks in a row, he went into the synagogue, reasoned with them, how? From the scriptures. What scriptures was he using? The Old Testament scriptures. The New Testament was not even written yet. They were living it out. The Gospels, even though it happened, had not yet been written. He was going back to the Old Testament. Why courage? Why do I say? Because every time he went into one of those synagogues, he was going to get beat up one way or another. Some were going to believe. The others who did not, the Jews who did not, were going to get jealous, and they wanted him out of there. If you'd go back to chapter 14, about verse 19, just as an example, when they went into Lystra, a town earlier on the way, preaching Jesus, there was even a man again crippled from birth. Paul prays for him. He's miraculously healed instantly, gets up, starts walking around, and the religious leaders get jealous. You know what they did to him that time? It says, some of the Jews, they won over the crowd, again stirring up a riot. They stoned Paul. For the kids, that means they threw rocks at them, okay? They stoned him, dragged him out of the city, thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and goes back into the city. Could you do that? I don't know if I could do that. I guess until I'd be in the situation, I'd like to think I could. But I'd be probably like, Lord, you know, this going into the synagogue business is not working out too well, honestly. You know, being stoned and left for dead, it was not just too pleasant. But what did Paul do? Went right back in to the next city and the next. So courage, here's a definition from the dictionary. You have it in your outline. It's having mental or moral strength. See, courage isn't so much about physical strength as it's more from within, mental and moral strength to persevere and withstand danger or difficulty. How about biblical courage? I would say courage equals confidence in God. Paul had such great confidence in God. He was giving it all because he knew what he was before Jesus. Before Jesus, he was all bound up in that false religion too, and he was trying to kill the Christians. But when God in Christ knocked him off his horse that day on the road to Damascus and spoke to him, he had an incredible encounter with the living God, and he was never the same, was he? No. So even, like I said, chapter 16, they do a good thing, delivering that slave girl from that demonic spirit. And what happens? They get whipped, beaten, thrown in jail again. God supernaturally sets them free. They go on. Let's go on to Thessalonica. Okay. Their courage. Secondly, would be their message. What was their message? Verse 2. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue. On three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. Listen, verse 3. Explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. And this is what he said. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ. Now that for him it was a very dangerous statement to make. Dangerous. In his day, his time, in parts of our world today, very dangerous. Where we live, not so dangerous, really, yet. Can be in certain situations, but I doubt you're going to be hauled out and stoned with rocks. Might have someone shove you up a car like I did once. I didn't do it to a person. Like I had done to me once. Don't you tell me about Jesus. I don't want to hear it, you know. So instead of being like Paul, Paul would have said, I'm telling you, he's the way. Get your hands off me, you know. No, I can't say I did that. I'm like, okay, man, it's cool. Just let me down, please, you know. Sorry to disappoint you all. But he is the Christ. He went back to the scriptures of the Old Testament. The Jews knew it inside and out. And people, some of them, believed. What do you think he did? I think many things. My goodness. He could have gone back to Genesis. Probably did. He could have gone to Abraham when Isaac was born, the child of promise, and how God told Abraham, and Isaac was about 13 or so now, I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love. What's that sound like? John 3:16, right? Take your only son, whom you love, and go to the mountain I'm going to show you and sacrifice him to me. And as I've told you probably many times before, it's so incredible to know that the mountain that God led Abraham and Isaac upon, Mount Moriah, is the very place, maybe not the exact spot, but very similar there, mountain where Jesus was nailed to the cross 2,000 years later. Is that something? And what did God do? So you'd be telling them, look, what did God do for Abraham and Isaac? They knew he provided the lamb. The ram there was caught in the thickets. God calls Abraham, don't stop, stop, look. And there's the ram. And Abraham, even before he went, he said, when Isaac said, okay, we got the fire here. We got the wood for the fire, but where's the sacrifice, Dad? Son, God himself will provide the sacrifice. And he did. So Paul could have gone through all these things saying, look, that's pointing to Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. What are the results? Number 3. There's positive, there's negative results. Acts 17:4. Some of the Jews were persuaded. See, the Holy Spirit was drawing them, doing his work by the word. That's why we preach the word. Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. New Living would say many important women in the city. So positive what? Salvations. Everywhere they went, there were salvations. What happens is when we're preaching Jesus and people are getting saved, what happens? You got more waves. More waves, because they're making waves where they go. Pretty soon you could get a tsunami It's what we need spiritually to roll across this nation, don't we? Is a tsunami of the revival of the Spirit of God. We're praying for that. When God does that, and He's working, when God does that in a large scale, is everybody going to be happy? Oh, revival, come to America! No, there's going to be a lot of people who are very unhappy about it. But there's going to be a whole lot of people who are those that receive Christ as Lord and Savior. So, salvations. Some of the Jews were persuaded. We know Jason would have been one of them. Early on, they were staying at his house. There's two other men from Acts chapter 20. We know their names, Aristarchus, Secundus, that they would have been Jews that got saved there. Okay. Second, a large number of God-fearing Greeks. Those are Gentiles. Gentiles. Large number of them. Third, not a few prominent women. In other words, many important women. So what an exciting beginning to the church in Thessalonica. But on the negative side of it, what? Verse 5. But the Jews were jealous. Those religious leaders that had control of that synagogue, why were they jealous? Different reasons. One, when they saw these Gentiles coming to Christ, they did not like that, because they thought the Messiah, whoever he was going to be, was coming for them and their race of people alone, not for the world, for them. They did not like that. They were jealous. Boy, if these verses here, and if this does not sound like today, did you catch that when I was reading it? We live in what we lived in 2020. They were jealous, so what'd they do? They rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. Exactly what we saw happening in 2020. Formed a mob, started a riot in the city. Many, you know, of our big cities, riots. Oh yeah, these people that are organizing it. You would see videos even of pallet loads of bricks being, oh, all of it, what's under this tarp? Oh, it's a pallet load of bricks. How convenient. Let's just start throwing them through the windows as we burn the federal post offices and all whatever in Minneapolis and in Oregon and all these places around, organized. How about, let's bus them in. I had to look back. When was that riot, which was minor compared to the many of the cities, when was that in Sioux Falls? You know, you sort of lose track of time. I did anyway. It was May 31st, 2020. And reports were coming. Reports were told they're on their way to Sioux Falls from wherever it was in North Dakota. They're bussing them down here, right? Yeah. Oh, a peaceful march. Yep, downtown. Then all of a sudden when dark comes, they're all out at the Empire Mall. And everything goes crazy, doesn't it? Throwing rocks at the police force and on and on. They found some, rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace. People that had no job, nothing else to do but cause trouble. Hey, want to cause some trouble here the next week? I'll pay you this much. Oh, sure, I'm not doing anything else. Get on the bus. Let's go. Wow. Professional agitators, as we call them today. So they round up this. Let's get back to Jason. They think Paul and Silas are there. They search the house. They're not there, so they drag out Jason, and he's in trouble, right? They're telling lies about Paul and Silas, and this big riot gets going. So long story short, that night they sneak Paul and Silas out of the city, and that Jason has to post bond, and then they let him go. The deal of all of this, we preach Jesus. We have to. As I've been saying, when opportunities arise, look for those doors. Well, I realize some, well, that's not so much me, Pastor Mike. I'm shy. Well, that shyness is still in my nature too. It is. Just because I stand up here and preach doesn't mean I can't revert back into that in an unfamiliar setting to be on the quiet side. But the Holy Spirit helps us when the doors are open and ask God, the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me. If you're opening a door to share with somebody about Jesus, then let me see it and let me know what to say, Lord. You don't have to know it all. Nobody does know it all. Just tell about Jesus, who he is, what he's done in your life. In closing up here, see, when we're preaching holiness, when we're preaching Jesus in an unholy environment, we're going to be making waves. It's going to happen in the world in which we live, with our coworkers, our neighbors, whoever it might be. In school, I just thought of one thing, then I will close. With Johnny's gumball ministry at school, there, some administrations, he has great favor with those kids. There's been an administration or two, he has not had any favor at all, and has been told, don't you be telling those kids about God. It changes, right? So he gets creative. Right now, I think it's pretty good favor. It was, anyway, yeah. So praise the Lord for that. Doesn't mean he stops. He still does it. Sometimes you just have to do it in a little more creative way. We're blessed. We are truly blessed here at Menno. I had somebody from Scotland just this last week called me, not from our church, called me with some questions, and he said, I just have to say, Pastor Mike, I saw on Facebook that night that prayer was offered at the basketball game in the gym for Logan Clout. He said, wow. That was so amazing. Said, I don't know that would happen over here. He wasn't bashing the school system. He just was saying. He said, you guys have a lot of freedom there to do that. I said, we do. Praise the Lord, we do. So we preach Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, for giving us the message, giving us courage, giving us boldness. We might get stoned by words sometime, but that's probably about the extent of it. Lord, help us again to see the open doors, sometimes to push them open as we tell others about you, and get to pray with them too. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our God reigns, the closing hymn. Let's stand. We got to remember that too. Whatever happens, our God reigns. He is sovereign. Lovely God, the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Alive. Yes, he does. Amen. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. And as a prayer for our nation, we will sing, God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans, right before. Day. Remember Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. High schoolers need to be here by 6:30. Thank you, Joanne, for the music.